You don't need to raise your hand for this, but how many of you are carrying a burden today? And you're right, I think every hand should go up, except for maybe Josh and Emma's, because I don't know if their burdens are real heavy these days. But what would you do if you didn't have Jesus to talk to? Take my burdens to Jesus. Something he's been teaching me recently. And I guess I'm stupid enough I didn't pick up on it. I don't know. But I realized how many burdens I'm carrying. I didn't even know I was carrying, and I couldn't do anything about them. I'm stewing over them and thinking about them, and I realize, I think the Lord told me the other week, you need to try to give them to me. So I'm trying, but that's not an easy task. I know many of you know what I'm talking about. I'm so glad I can tell it to Jesus. Did everyone get a handout in their bulletin? Please raise your hand if you do not have one. And Josiah, come up here and help me. Raise your hand if you do not have one. This handout, please keep it with you. It will last throughout this series, and it's about 8 pages or something like that. Yes, it's a big book. Believe it or not, it's very tricky to get that to print and then line up on those pages like that. It took me a long time, so you ought to appreciate my hard efforts. Everybody got now? So this will be part one of our series, Measurements of a Christian. And I apologize, I'm still coughing and clearing my throat. I don't know why it's this residual cough hanging on like it is, but I try to be polite. I'm not entirely sure how long this series is going to take. My suspicions are 4 parts, but I may be wrong on that, but we'll see. I didn't even take the time to go through and try to figure it out because once I studied for long enough and I got the handouts printed, I was just done looking at it. I needed to take a break. So, but I provided some space there to take notes if you wish, and hopefully holding a piece of paper in your hand to look at while we're going along, maybe that'll help some of you stay awake more, or it may help you meditate more. I don't know. But if someone came up to me and said, what are your measurements? I would say a shirt size 16 and a half, 34, 35. I'm giving this out in case anybody needs ideas for Christmas presents or anything. And pants 36, 32. And I'm working really hard to keep those measurements. I don't want them to get any larger. That's my goal. We'll see how that goes as time goes on. When you seek a job, an employer will test a person through an interview or on-job, interim period to see if they measure up to the expectations. Units of measurement are used all through life in different forms. But when it comes to Christianity, what kind of measurements are used? Oh, we as humans use many forms of measurement. We have our units of measurement that we measure and place on other people. But most of those are appearance-based, unfortunately. But when God measures us as Christians, he doesn't measure us that way. What kind of measurement does he use? Allow me to read an article. I can't remember. I think I did put that in your handouts. I think. I can't remember now. Called Measure Your Life by Obedience. And this is where I got this series and outline borrowed from Wesley Duell. God is measuring our lives not by the measures and standards of our culture or our age. He's measuring them by our character and by our walk with Him. God and His Word are intensely practical. All of the great general principles in the kingdom of God are illustrated and judged on the basis of the most specific details. Nothing is left in the abstract. Everything is brought down to the concrete situations in which believers live. God leaves no room anywhere for mere nominal Christianity. Jesus' most scathing words were not for the broken and degraded sinner who was condemned by society, but for the self-righteous and self-deceived religious people whose lives did not prove their claims to holiness, love, and relationship to God. Jesus called such people fools, hypocrites, blind guides, snakes, and whitewashed tombs. 7 times he referred to them as blind. 3 times he called them vipers. No condemnation seemed too strong for those who failed to practice their professed spirituality. This is in full harmony with his many other statements, indeed with the whole trend of Bible thoughts. Perhaps the best illustration of this is the Bible emphasis upon obedience, an importance highlighted in both Old and New Testaments. The message of God is plain. Measure your life by how much you obey, not by how much you know, by how much you do, by how much you read or hear, by how much you walk in the light, by how much you claim to have fellowship with God. Measure your life by what you actually do for God, not what you intend to do. Measure your life by proofs in your daily living, not by your pious wishes. Obedience to God, glad, full, and humble obedience, is God's ordained key to much that is vital in Christian life. Only the obedient Christian enjoys the constant and undimmed blessing and favor of God. I shared for a little bit last week about my deep concerns for the church in general of today. There is entirely too much complacency and not enough dedicated obedience to God and His Word. And I say that without fear of being argued against, because it is so obvious today. So many want to bear the title of Christian, but they aren't willing to put any personal sacrifice into it. And certainly, obedience is too difficult. I had a moment the other day as I was walking and praying, and I had to ask myself, where am I at? Am I willing to genuinely, completely obey God? And that might sound like a no-brainer question, but I had to think about it. Do we ever really ask ourselves that question? And it was almost scary for me to ask that question. What might God ask me to do to obey Him? Do we realize how serious of a subject this really is? We can say we are obedient. Oh yeah, I obey the Lord. But do we? What if God shows us something in our life that we need to give up? Will we do it? Those of you that have children still at home, or those of you that remember when you had children still at home, and some of you might have to do quite a bit of remembering to think that far back. But you know the struggle of children not wanting to obey. Obedience is hard for any human being, and as a parent, we're so happy when our children obey the way we ask them to obey. For example, and purely hypothetical, because I'm sure you'll know this could never happen in our home, go take the laundry to the laundry room. Okay, I need to finish this first. No, I told you to take it now. Or here's another. Why did you do exactly what I told you not to do? Over and over and over again, I told you not to do it. Why'd you do it? Oh, yeah. I forgot. Now, do we ever do this to God? Son or daughter, I need you to do this for me. Okay, Lord, but I got something else in my life that's really important. I need to get that finished first, then I'll do it. Or why did you deliberately do what you knew displeased me? Oh, I must have forgotten or slipped my mind in the heat of the moment. And I wonder how much we sound like little children to God at times, or all the time. Anyway, over the next few weeks, I want to examine this subject of obedience and see if we're measuring up, because that is the measure of our Christian walk. The first part of this series, we're going to talk about obedience is the key. That's number one in your handouts. Picture, if you would, a janitor at a school. They always, or at least used to, I don't know if it's the case anymore, they probably just have a card now, but always had a large key ring on their belt. Well, let's call this portion of our message on obedience our key ring, our obedience key ring. There are six doors that obedience opens up in this walk with Christ, and I want to examine them this morning. The first one is obedience is the key to cleansing and holiness, and that's in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is no other way to maintain a holy life except to walk constantly in God's light. Now, here's where it gets sticky, because this verse has been, in my opinion, greatly misused at times. The phrase, well, they just haven't seen the light yet. Have you ever heard that used? Has been, in my experience, misused to an extreme when referring to someone doing something that we think they should not be doing. It's very important to note that this verse says nothing about our opinions or our light, but God's light. We aren't obeying people. We're obeying God. And it's very important to understand that this verse is speaking about the light, not our light. And it's the light that the Spirit shows us. We might not be shown the same thing as someone else and vice versa. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But just remember that we cannot maintain a relationship with God if we aren't walking in the light that He sheds on our path. One step away from the light in our life is a step away from the cleansing blood. So we need to keep clean by obeying God. And if we stay in the light that God shows us through His Spirit, then we'll maintain a cleansed heart. That's what this verse is telling us. It's really quite simple, but so many times we make it so complicated. We're to obey Jesus Christ. We walk in the light that His Spirit shines on our path. We're not to worry about others and whether they are obeying or what they are or aren't doing. If they aren't walking in the light, we simply need to worry about ourselves, and then others will see our example. So the first key to this door of cleansing and holiness, the first key is to the door of cleansing and holiness. And if you want to maintain a cleansed and holy life, then obey. Walk in the light. The next key to the next door is obedience is the key to healthy fellowship with other believers. And if you look in that same verse, and I have it there in your handout again, there's another aspect to our Christian walk that obedience opens up to us. And just a portion of that, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. As I said earlier, the Holy Spirit may not reveal the same thing to everyone at the same time. And I'm honestly glad He doesn't, because that's what gives us diversity and variety in our church. We are all on separate journeys spiritually. That's why it's so important not to treat someone else as less of a Christian because they aren't walking in the light we have. On that same note, it's also very important not to view someone else as going overboard if they're doing something we don't feel is necessary. Like I said a moment ago, we need to worry about ourselves and obey the Spirit's prompting in our life and listen to His voice. If we do this, we'll then enjoy the true fellowship that Christ has established in this awesome institution called the church. We can fellowship with one another, realizing that we are all following the same Savior who died for all of us. And we can have the confidence that if we all obey the Spirit's voice, then we will all be on the right path spiritually. In reality, it should release us from the burden of trying to fix other people's problems and simply let God take care of that. This fellowship is essentially called worship. Christians coming together to lift each other up and encourage one another on their way, that brings glory to God in a beautiful way. So think about it this way. When God looks down at us here at Montgomery, and he sees that we're encouraging one another and worshiping him, instead of nitpicking and focusing on what others are doing and how they need to change or whatever, how must that make him feel? I equate it to the feeling that I get when my boys obey me right away the first time and do it right. They are doing it right. Now, I realize that comparison doesn't come anywhere close, because I don't know how God thinks or what he's like, because that's beyond me, beyond all of us. However, I can imagine when he sees a church obeying him completely and getting along and properly fellowshipping together, that must be the most beautiful song he can hear. So, the next door that the key of obedience opens is the door of fellowship with other believers. And I hope you're enjoying it, because I know I am. Then third, obedience is the key to spiritual understanding. Let's be honest. There's quite a lot, actually, about God we can't even begin to understand, and probably never will understand. However, there is much we can learn about him if we simply walk in his ways and obey him. As we continue to obey him, we'll get to know more about him. You can't expect a child to know all there is about life when they're new, when they're young. They haven't lived long enough to learn. And I imagine someone who's quite a bit older than me can look at me and say, "Oh, you have so much to learn about life." The same is true spiritually. We can't expect a person who doesn't know Christ to understand much about the things of God. They don't know him yet at all. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 1 Corinthians 2:14. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." These passages tell us that to the non-believer, these things about God sound very foolish. The natural man, or the person who is living on their own without the Spirit in them, simply does not understand anything about God. And the question is asked, well, how do I learn more about God? By knowing him, by obeying him. You can learn more about a person by getting to know them better. If you don't communicate, you don't hang out with the person, you're not going to get to know them. And the same is true with God. You can learn to know him better by walking in obedience to what he says and by the way the Spirit speaks to you. Yeah, there are some things about the spiritual realm that we'll probably never fully understand. But if we want to grow in our understanding of who God is and what he can do for us, then the only way to do that is to use this key of obedience and unlock the door for more spiritual understanding. And then fourth, obedience is the key to confidence in prayer. Have you ever gone to prayer knowing that you've done something in your life you shouldn't have done, and that God wouldn't have been pleased with, and you start praying and you're thinking, why in the world am I praying? Because why would God want to listen to me right now? Anybody have that experience, or am I the only one? It's like one of my boys coming to me and asking me for a new bike because they wrecked their old bike doing something I told them not to do. Again, this is genuinely hypothetical, although I could easily see it happening. Why in the world would you come to me asking for something when you did exactly what I told you not to do and you broke it? I mean, now, I don't think our Father responds to us that way, but I know we are human and we all feel guilty if we go to God knowing that we are disobedient to him. You want to have confidence when you go to God in prayer? Then be obedient. 1 John 3:21 and 22, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. and whatever we ask or receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I explained several times, numerous times now, how people take verses out of context, like this one here, and take them to mean that we can ask God for whatever we want, and he'll just give it to us. I stated how taking verses out of context can be applied to pretty much any situation we want to. If we search long enough, we can find a scripture that'll fit that, and we can bend it and twist it and make it fit. And just to be clear, this whole series is pretty hard because it was a lot of subjects, and then you have to like Google a verse to fit that subject, and you could get in trouble doing that. So I was trying to be very, very careful to make sure that I wasn't taking scriptures out of context. But that being said, passages such as these, on prayer and answering whatever our desire is, we often take out of context. But if we are obeying him, and our hearts are pure before him, then we will not be praying selfishly. And that is what is important to note. So we won't just go ahead and pray to him and ask him for anything we can think up, because our prayers will be spirit-led. We'll be praying about things that matter for our spiritual walk. Disobedience to our Father can really cripple our prayers. Think of all the unanswered prayers because a person isn't living in obedience to God. You want to approach prayer with confidence? Then use the key of obedience to unlock that door. And then 5, obedience is the key to blessing. James 1:25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And here's another verse that can be taken out of context. Another fallacy that's often believed is that the blessings referred to in Scripture, given the promises God's given to the, are those blessings of pleasurable life and wealth and prosperity and good health. But if you read Scripture enough, you will find there are many instances where some of the most devoted of followers of God certainly didn't have those kind of blessings. And Job is the one that comes to mind first. So what does this verse mean when it says, "This man will be blessed in all he does"? So remember what I said about context. What is this verse saying? Studying the words of the Lord and following them, in the beginning there, you're studying the word, you know, it looks into the perfect law of liberty. You study the words of the Lord and follow them, they will lead to the Lord blessing you. How? In following the Lord. In making you the best follower of Christ you can possibly be. If you obey him, he will bless you with a closer walk with him. Now let me ask you, what's better? Earthly wealth, excellent health, beautiful life, and everything you can dream of, or a close walk with the Savior who you eventually spend eternity in heaven with? Oh, I know all those earthly things are nice, but in the end, I want the Lord. What a skewed perspective we have on blessing. But it's because we're human, and that's how we operate. But if we each really thought about it, I'm sure we'd say, the blessing of being a child of God and walking close to him far outweighs any earthly blessing. Oh, it might not feel like it in the moment, but in the end, it'll be the best blessing ever. So use the key of obedience to unlock the door to blessing. The last one, number 6, obedience is the key to kingdom advance. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And that's Christ's promise to his followers that choose, and will obey him and share the gospel. And the only way God's kingdom can advance, and listen to this, is in two ways: through the Holy Spirit and the obedience of God's children. Think about that. God needs us to advance his kingdom. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to lead them to his side. Ask yourself this: am I using this key of obedience to open the door for others to know Christ? What an awesome responsibility we have. Are we doing our job? Ask yourself that. You might not like the answer, and you might have to change something. That brings us to the close of this first part of our series on obedience. And as I said before, I am greatly concerned with the careless ways many Christians are living. It boils down to this: are we being obedient to Jesus Christ? And that's a solemn subject, but one we need to strive to learn, because without complete obedience, we will not be complete Christians. Let's pray.